High Noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock live from Patriots training camp, as we have been all week, even going back to late last week. And we're presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. We'll get you a Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:45. Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday will be joining us coming up at 1 o'clock today. So mark that down, as we'll hear from him. I know he's watching the receivers very close. His colleague Phil Perry has been watching Will Campbell very close. That's who Mike Vrabel was talking about there, Keith. Yeah, I would tell you, and he may have had a poor rep late in these 11-on-11s. I'm just trying to sift through some of the feedback, not that I noticed it to the naked eye, but trying to sift through some of the feedback here today. Overall, strong bounce back day for Will Campbell, who did not have a great day yesterday.
No, definitely. Yeah, mixed bag, like we pointed out yesterday, and I was reading from Phil, you would even chalk it up as a loss, right? If you were saying Will Campbell versus Keon White, which seems to be a fun matchup so far early on in camp. Keon White probably got the better of him overall in all the different drills that they were doing, whereas today, Will Campbell got the win. And that's obviously great to see, because I don't expect any rookie offensive lineman to show up and dominate the entire time. Maybe Tony Boselli. Maybe somebody like that.
Maybe. Not Bruce Smith would say no way.
But like somebody maybe like that. But for Will Campbell to get used to NFL pass rushers, and we're not trying to put Keon White in the Hall of Fame, but if Keon White had a solid season, I wouldn't completely rule it out. He's a true NFL starting pass rusher. And also just for a guy to improve day-to-day is exactly what you're looking for. Yep. And it's still July, so let's see even in another month from now what Will Campbell ends up looking like. And if he's doing that, that also passes really the biggest test, which is he a left tackle? That's what everybody is hoping for. That's what why they drafted him so high. And, you know, if he was losing rep after rep after rep, or it was a second day in a row where you're like, I don't know, Keon White again got the better of him, it would be trending in the wrong direction. But at the very least right now, you have to say one of the positives from camp, I choose to look at it this way, has been Will Campbell.
So, look, if we're going to criticize his day yesterday, sounded like a big-time bounce-back day today. So if you're in the camp that you think he's a tackle and you think he's one of these blue-chip players that Aaron Schatz was writing about, we'll get to that coming up in a little bit, blue-chip players, blue-chip talent under 25. Today was a good day for that. It wasn't a good day for everybody out there. I'll just start at the beginning. Christian Gonzalez, is again Jordan Schultz, said he suffered a hamstring injury during Monday's practice. It's going to sideline him for a bit.
Yeah.
Told it will not impact his week one availability. He was out here in a t-shirt and shorts about midway through practice later on in practice.
But, yeah, we're not going to see him again. We aren't, because we're here the rest of this week. We're going to be here next week.
That's a great point. If you're planning on coming down to Foxborough, you still should. But when you're here, and by the way, based on the light crowd today, a lot of people were staying away for the heat.
Oh, my God. I don't blame them.
I don't either. But I wouldn't expect to see Christian Gonzalez if you're planning on coming down for training camp anytime soon. I wonder if you're going to see Morgan Moses. Morgan Moses left practice today. He's already been on a pitch count throughout practice. He left fairly early on today, Keith.
Yeah, that is, I think, definitely concerning and worth talking about, because he wasn't the just plug-and-play guy anyway. And I was sort of writing it off as they know what they have in him. They just want to make sure that he's healthy come regular season. He's the most veteran offense, the guy with the most experience on your entire offensive line. But then when he has worked in, he hasn't been great. And then he leaves early, which means, I don't know, maybe he's dealing with something. So a guy that we had kind of penciled into the starting lineup, and I think it had almost been like written off, like, all right, the right side of the O-line is fine with Onwenu and Moses. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe
they don't have
not.
A lot of, they don't have a lot of tackle depth. So, that could be one where you need somebody that, you know, going into the year, you didn't expect to be getting regular snaps and maybe even being your starting right tackle. That thought process might have to change a little bit.
I would say even on a better day for Will Campbell, I think largely we heard some good things about Jared Wilson today, saw some good things out of Jared Wilson today. Even individually, if they were better, I think the offensive line as a whole has struggled 6 days into training camp, 2 days in pads. Andrew Callahan, this is about midway through practice, said Campbell has improved on a rough start to individual drills yesterday.
Yeah,
helping
good.
Create a real push in the run game during 11-on-11s. He started off by losing a rep to Christian Barmore and Kalavon Chasen in a half-line drill, but once they got into the one-on-one,
Chasen,
he's showing up a lot.
Chasen is popping.
Once they got into the one-on-ones, not the half-line stuff, Bedard says Campbell was 2-0 against Keon White and Kalavon Chasen. He notes strong hands.
Nice.
Which is
yeah, no, the hands aren't a problem. It's the arms. He's got a good mitts on.
Good point. Short arms.
Great paws.
Strong hands.
Yes,
that's a t-shirt right there.
Yeah,
is what that is.
You need somebody to open a jar of pickles. He's your guy. You know, you need somebody to reach for the pickles. Not your guy.
Callahan gave you the full breakdown here. He said Campbell was 2-0 in one-on-ones. Jared Wilson 3-0 with reps against Milton Williams and Christian Barmore. He called it a great period for him. He said a couple of players on defense that won. Tonga beat Bradbury, who left with an injury at one point late in practice. Caden Wallace also with a couple of wins as well there. Phil Perry feels like he's watching Will Campbell very, very closely.
Yeah.
He says Campbell had a strong practice. Thought he allowed Kalavon Chasen to get him to the ground on a rare pass attempt during a half-line period. Soon after, he stonewalled Keon White in one-on-ones. He also ran Chasen around the quarterback in his second rep. He says in 11-on-11s, he stopped a Keon White spin move.
How about that?
That helped give Drake May enough time to find Steph Diggs in the end zone for a score. I wonder if that was the play we highlighted earlier.
Yeah.
Where maybe in a game situation it wouldn't be that great. He did continue that Campbell gave up a sack to White later on in 11-on-11s. Strong initial pop from Keon White, then burst around the edge. Good physical battle between those two today compared to yesterday. He said yesterday he would give the edge to White. Today he would give the edge to Campbell.
Okay.
Which again kind of summarizes that full thing.
No, that's great. And I think going into camp, I was looking forward to the best possible matchup I think the Patriots could have, offense versus defense, going in was Diggs versus Gonzalez. Now, unfortunately, Gonzalez is out.
Yep.
So the next most interesting matchup is Will Campbell, Keon White. Some of the other pass rushers, too, you know, lined up with Chasen or Barmore. But I think Keon White, because we are hoping for a big year, breakthrough year out of him. And then, obviously, there's a ton invested into Will Campbell. But I think day in and day out now, that's the one that I'm certainly the most interested in now that Gonzalez is sitting out.
Bunch of beat writers noted again that Gonzalez is sitting out but was here in shorts and a T-shirt, black sleeve on his left leg. That was from Mark Daniels, who also says Andy Borogalis.
Yeah.
6-for-6, Keith.
6-for-6?
That's after Parker Romo went 6-for-6 yesterday. So yesterday, Romo got all the reps in the kicker competition. Borogalis got all the reps here today. They both hit everything these last 2 days.
That's good news.
So that one's starting to heat up a little bit. Bedard actually noted that there was some actual minimal pressure on Borogalis as a draft pick to come out and
I would say so.
Make his kicks today after Romo made them all yesterday, so he responded to that.
By the way, we were wondering what they were doing yesterday with the uprights. They just switched them. They wanted to kick into the other end, so the skinny upright is down
skinny
here.
Skinny uprights coming our way.
Yeah, that's right.
Big upright is now down the other end the second field. You're right about that. Mark Daniels says there was another fumbled snap near the goal line, Keith. Last 2 days it was May and Wilson. Today it was May and Bradbury.
Okay.
He also notes Vrabel made the entire offense get off the field, and Josh Dobbs and that group took over. So not happy probably with 3 consecutive days, I'd imagine, with the first team offense putting the ball on the ground. It was a different center today.
Seems like center's wide open.
Seems like it's there for the taking. That's
so
true.
Fair to say right tackle, center, left guard are all up for grabs.
You think right guard is up for grabs?
No. Did I say right guard? I meant left guard.
Left
center,
guard.
Left guard, right tackle are up for grabs.
Oh, right tackle you meant. Yes. Yeah. I think right tackle is more up for grabs than we would have thought. Yes, left guard and center for sure.
Yeah.
And right tackle is a question mark if Moses is going to miss time.
It's some good camp battles is what it is.
Good camp battles.
Yeah,
we Mount Rushmore'd those the other day.
We did.
I think we can keep them where they were, but certainly some good ones to keep an eye on. Then we'll get to May. Up and down day for Drake May. Clean pocket. He missed Hunter Henry on a play in the left flat that we highlighted in real time. Callahan says May opened 11-on-11s, 3-for-8. Low red zone, which favors the defense. He said good. There were touchdowns to Diggs and Williams. That's one we highlighted in real time, too.
Yeah.
Some quarterback runs. We'll have more on that coming up. The bad scattershot accuracy, multiple misses. The ugly was that fumbled snap and an interior O-line breakdown from the Patriots. Let's see. Full numbers here from Mark Daniels. May was 7-for-14 today. Dobbs was 5-for-10. That was in 11-on-11. Again, May was 3-for-8 in 7-on-7s. A lot of that was down in the low red zone and close to the goal line. Bradbury got hurt at one point, slow to get up, and limped over to the trainers. DJ James, the young corner, who's flashed quite a bit early on, had another strong day out there today. A couple of pass breakups and spent time repping with the starters, quote-unquote.
Okay.
Remember, there's no Gonzo and there's no Carl Davis.
There's an opportunity there.
Who exactly are the starters? But that's a guy to watch. If you're looking for an undrafted guy to make the squad, that's a name that continues to pop over and over and over again every single day.
Well, and that's why even some of those great plays made by the second unit, you know, Javon Baker had a great play. Kendrick Bourne had a great play. It's also, all right,
who are they over?
Who are you doing that on? But whatever, yep. You're going to start somewhere, so I think you'll at least take that. One thing that also sort of jumped out to me, or I've been thinking about, is last year around this time, looking towards the preseason games, which are quickly approaching,
yeah.
It was a good amount of excitement. Even though the team was bad, it was a lot of Drake May, Joe Milton. This year, if Drake May's out of the game on offense, it is going to be tough to watch. I don't think anybody wants to watch Josh Dobbs
or Ben
Woolridge play quarterback.
No, that's true. You would tolerate watching Brissett in the games last year.
Because you're like
where the hell's
starter.
May? Then May would get in.
And then even Milton, though, was exciting.
And then Milton would get in, and you're like, I can – a whole game was – it's a good point.
This year, no. As soon as Drake May leaves, you're going to be like, all right. And then you're going to grade everything else on a curve because, like, what do you expect – you know, Efton Chisholm to do with those guys or Travion Henderson to do with those guys. But whatever. I mean, that doesn't really matter. That's just for 3 weeks. Like, the team itself should be a whole lot better.
All right, a few more takeaways. Bedard, and I think we kind of pointed this out in real time. Like, May started poorly. He says after a rough start, the offense closes strong
yeah.
in the low red zone with a bunch of touchdown throws. He did say he had one sack for Kalavon Chasen against Will Campbell.
That guy is really – he's flashing maybe the most.
He might be.
Now, I don't know. Right. It doesn't mean he's great. It might just mean the offensive line's really bad. But his name has popped up more than most on defense.
Bedard also said he thought Campbell might have jumped early on that rep. Day two in full pad, says Mike Giardi, May in the offense struggling, indecisive and inaccurate. They did rebound in team, which I think is pretty consistent to our eyes and a lot of the beat reporters. He says quarterback center exchange remains an issue. May has been the common denominator, either Bradbury or Wilson. They fumbled again today. One more from Callahan says May was 7 for 13, which kind of mirrors the numbers we gave you earlier. One sack. He did say iffy accuracy, but touchdowns to Diggs, Booty, and Kyle Williams. Better run game push today than there had been the last couple of days. Says Keon White beat Will Campbell in team at one point in time. And I find this interesting, and it was very noticeable to us watching here today. Newish wrinkles, Callahan says, from McDaniels, quarterback runs, bootlegs, et cetera,
yeah, yeah.
et cetera.
Yeah, I would say for me to summarize today, you get the news off the field about Christian Gonzalez. He's probably going to be out rest of camp, but he should be there for week one. So that you look at as sort of a positive. The rest of it would be Will Campbell had a bounce back day today, probably got the better of Keon White overall. However, the defense overall, a little bit better than the offense was. Drake May, I guess you could say some ups and downs, but moving them around a little bit, which I view that as a positive.
I do, too. Yeah. They threw way more today than yesterday was a run-focused practice.
True.
Today, they threw a lot more than they did yesterday, and I would say it wasn't great overall for the offense. Even if Campbell had a good day, Wilson had a good day. May really didn't.
So give me two guys up, two guys down.
Ooh, two guys up, two
so
guys
Campbell
down.
Has to be one of the guys.
I would absolutely have Campbell yep. on the up. Kalavon Chasen might be one. DJ James,
DJ
the
James,
corner
maybe.
Again,
yeah.
is one who continues to flash.
Javon Baker maybe had the highlight play.
He had a great
individual
catch.
Play. He had a really nice catch.
He had a great catch, but he was running with the second team and Josh Dobbs.
I know, but listen, you gotta do well there before you get called up a little bit more. I would say
for down, May. And Morgan Moses is leaving.
Morgan
is just
Moses,
that's a bad sign yeah. that he's leaving early. No, and not out there.
Definitely going to put Morgan Moses on there. And then I guess probably Drake May. And it's probably the first time he would have been on that list. I think Drake May's either been fine or good throughout all of camp. And so today maybe a little bit of a knockdown.
And again, you know, last year we were watching everything like a hawk, like you just said. Yeah. How is May repping against Jacoby Brissett? What is Joe Milton doing behind them? You know, famously Volan said last year Milton was outperforming Drake May.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of these days down here. So we were watching it all very close.
Dobbs
but like,
and Woolridge have never outplayed Drake May.
No.
And that continued today.
And there's no real stakes to it for May. I mean, you want him to practice well. You don't want him to just go through the motions and not have a strong performance. And we'll highlight it if he doesn't. I don't think he did today. But when he doesn't, we're not like, ooh, he might not be the starter.
Yeah.
Oh, he might not be the – like, clearly he's the guy. The question is, what's it going to look like when he's out there this year? And, look, today wasn't great, but there's a lot of hype nationally around Drake May.
Oh, yeah.
We heard this yesterday from Peter Schrager. We played it for you earlier. We'll play it again. We'll continue any more takeaways we have. You can discuss as well.
I think we have a TED Talk going on down there.
Oh.
I think we have a TED Talk.
TED is – who's that now?
I think that's Cole Strange.
Is 69 Cole Strange?
Nice. Yeah, of course. Strange 69.
Oh, I should remember that.
The best jersey they got.
Strange 69. That's true.
I think that's Hart and Ted talking to Strange.
Yep.
Turp's down there. Turp sweating.
Turp is always just worming his way at all
these
things
sweating.
Down there, too. That's true.
He's like, hey, I'm Turp. I cover the Celtics.
Okay, so we, Who are you guys?
Yeah.
So we'll have a TED Talk for you later on WEEI Afternoons. Again, we'll get you more takeaways. All your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Hype around Drake May. Hype around the young talent on this roster. And I do think largely it was a good day for the young talent. Yesterday, a little more questionable. Today, good bounce back day. We'll get to all of it coming up right after Trending with Billy Lanning. That was Peter Schrager yesterday on the Pat McAfee show discussing some of the hype, the juice around Drake May going into year two. That was before we saw a bit of a step in the wrong direction for May today. You don't want to overreact to it. I think largely he's had a pretty good camp. But today, certainly early on, an uneven day, another botched exchange between quarterback and center. Did bounce back at the end of the day when they got to 11-on-11s from about the 5-yard line. Had a good session there, but overall up and down day. Had another ball that could have been picked here today. But the overall buzz on Drake May sounds pretty good. Schrager pretty bullish there.
Yeah, and that's kind of in the minority overall as far as like outlook on the season. I think there are some that are saying, hey, yeah, the Pats could win maybe 8 or 9 games, but Drake May himself is not really viewed as highly nationally as he is locally. Like right. A lot of these different lists that we were looking at, power rankings or projections, all had Drake May relatively low, not in the top half of quarterbacks, probably in that bottom, like somewhere in the 20s, like ranking starting quarterbacks. And I don't know, it was I guess, somewhat interesting to hear a national guy go on there and be like, hey, it's early in camp, but like big buzz could be in line for a big second season, because really that has not been the talk overall.
No.
Like we've been saying it, I think a lot of local shows are kind of saying that, and you know, maybe it's just because we watched Jacoby Brissett, Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, Cam Newton for the last 4 years that we're thinking it's going to be a lot better.
We're real thirsty for it, yeah.
But yeah, like outside of New England, not really popping up on a lot of people's radars, and so we'll see. Maybe Schrager will be the first of many to sort of follow suit on that. Now, this was also before today's day.
Yeah,
you know,
I would say
it wasn't as strong.
I would say the juice, and maybe it was just the heat, but the juice dried up a little bit today.
Oh, it's hot out there.
On Drake May. I did notice, I jumped inside in the last break. I did notice I'm actually legitimately sweating through my shirt, which means I need a cool towel.
Crack, dude, bro. Get a wet towel.
I might need one.
Just go soak this towel.
I had not seen that yet at camp where I'm sweating right through my shirt.
Yeah. I would let you borrow mine, but I believe that's HIPAA. We're going to get Terp back up here. So Terp was down on the field getting some interviews.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, some of the scuttlebutt inside is
hotter
down
there.
It's like 20 degrees hotter on the field.
I mean,
oh my God.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I do. So, we gave you our 2-up, 2-down earlier, Keith. That's patented.
Yes.
But May was on our down list today. And that doesn't make it the end of the world. But I'd say it wasn't a strong day for him. We also had the two injuries, both on the O-line. And they're two projected starters, I think. One was Morgan Moses. We talked a lot about that. The other was Bradbury, who left late. And so that's, you know, maybe your top center. If it's not him, then it's Jared Wilson, who's had a couple of fumbled exchanges with Drake May. So the O-line already not having a great camp. Much better day for Will Campbell. He was actually an arrow up for us today. But overall, you had an O-line that was already kind of struggling and now maybe dealing with a couple of injuries. Who knows for how long? Like we told you yesterday with Christian Gonzalez leaving camp early. Sounds like he'll be ready week one, and he was present today. But, yeah, you don't know what's going on with either of those two guys, but those were updates today at Patriots.
Well, you mentioned how Andy Hart yesterday said, I know it's early.
The O-line, quote-unquote, looks worse than last year. I don't think he means it's less talented on paper, but
no, it's not.
It's looked worse.
It's looked worse. And the last few years, there's been a lot of talk about how bad it's been. Really, anything post-Dante Scarnecchia, it's been looked at as like it's a mess and it might not be able to get cleaned up.
Yep.
And last year, you remember going into the year, there was the thought of, all right, you have David Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
And so David Andrews should be able to solidify things a little bit. He gets hurt early in the season. You lose him. Then it's sort of like a musical centers for a while. Mike Onwenu was playing a couple of different positions. You had a left tackle in free agency who quit the team. You had some different rookies playing out of position. So you're right, on paper it was bad. But if Morgan Moses isn't your penciled in right tackle,
it's DeMondre Jacobs again.
It's not super great on paper now either.
Boy, yeah,
right?
Seriously.
That was sort of the Onwenu kicks in and now you have Moses. I know it's all hypothetical, but he hasn't looked good. And
I was
going to
say, by all accounts, he was already on a pitch count.
Yeah.
When he's out there, he's not looking good, and he left early today.
So if you lose Morgan Moses for an extended period of time, do you just start Jacobs there, or do you end up having to kick on Wenu, and now you're losing your strength a little bit of what you thought was the right side, and on Wenu playing a position he's more comfortable at?
Maybe that's part of why we have gotten some looks. I think it was more Saturday than anything, but some looks of Jared Wilson, the rookie guard, guard/center out of Georgia, third-round pick. We've seen some of him at right guard. Maybe there's a way to do all of it, where on Wenu kicks out, he's the right guard. You have Bradbury and Strange, the guest for a TED Talk here today.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
And that's how you piece it together. But either way, I wouldn't feel great about any of those scenarios.
I know.
Real quick, I want to update the Patriots' 25 under 25 talent. ESPN came out with a list on that. We'll get you a Kiefer Madness at 12:45. And Tommy Curran normally joins us on a Tommy Tuesday at high noon. He's going to join us closer to 1. So stay tuned for that. Plus, grab bag and clip du jour. Loaded back end of the show here for you.
Sure is.
Our guy Savage just tweeted out a video of Christian Gonzalez today. We knew he was here in a t-shirt and shorts. I hadn't seen this video. Take a look at him. How's he moving there? If Dr. Keefe were going to take a look.
Not good.
Oh, you think not good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
maybe it's because that kid threw a ball to him kind of behind him a little bit.
It was a low throw. He had to slow down for him.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know his normal strides.
That's a good point.
You think that looks good to you, your naked eye?
I think if
Dr.
Jones were breaking it down, I'd say he looks like he's moving okay.
All right.
But okay. We might need Billy Landon to break the tie.
All right.
On that.
I like that.
But no, I was encouraged by it. Now I'm second guessing myself.
Well, I'm not so sure.
There's a little bit of a hitch there.
Look, there's no rush, though.
That low throw from the kid, maybe that.
I can't tell.
Tweak something else.
Like Keith said, because I don't know what his normal strut is.
Yeah, good point.
Know.
We'll refrain from being doctors.
We asked him a lot of questions last year. That was not one of them.
What do you walk like? What's your typical walk?
Who do you
like?
Model your walk after?
What?
never mind.
So we did have Christian Gonzalez highlighted. ESPN came out with a list today. Aaron Schatz.
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 Guy. No, it's Schatz.
Schatz.
Yeah, it's Schatz.
Came out with a list today of the, ranking all the teams in the NFL and their talent level under 25. A year ago, the Patriots were 25th on this list. Today, they're 7th.
Seven!
Thank you. They trail Houston, Seattle, Washington, the Giants, Chicago, and Detroit. So what is that? That's 3 playoff teams plus another 10-win team ahead of the Patriots on this list. They check in at number 7.
All right.
The blue-chip players under 25 on the team. Gonzalez.
Yes.
Drake May.
Okay.
Will Campbell.
Yeah.
Is highlighted here. This is what Schatz writes. He says, May is a very promising young quarterback talent who turns 23 in late August on the 30th. He's ranked 17th in QBR a year ago last season, despite subpar receiving and O-line play.
Right.
He says the young talent is here to save the offense. First-round rookie Campbell is 21. Third-round rookie Jared Wilson, 22. Third-round rookie Kyle Williams is 22. Plus, you got Kayshon Boutte and DeMario Douglas, 23 and 24, respectively. He then writes, Keith, there may even be something with Jalen Polk, who had a troubling rookie season, but is just 23 years old with plenty of potential. So I don't think Schatz nailed the whole thing.
I would agree that he is under 25. I'll agree with that.
Under 25, is he a plus or a negative?
I think more negative.
I guess we'll agree to disagree on that one.
It's good they're moving up these rankings, because we've actually looked at stuff like this off and on for the last several years. And like, they are barren of talent that's in their early 20s because they were drafting so badly for so long.
Right. And
three years ago,
sooner or later, it's going to catch up to them. And it did.
It did.
Yeah.
And it was also funny, they had like a little note there. They're like, players graduated, right? Meaning like guys that just turned 26 that were of value. Like, nobody.
Nobody that was that age. Notable graduated players, none.
Not a surprise. But 3 years ago, you get a big pick in Christian Gonzalez. Last year, the draft itself might end up being really bad, but you got your quarterback.
Yep.
And then this year, you might have a starting left tackle. So you draft twice in the top 4, and then you previously hit on a first-round pick. Yeah, you better rank pretty high in players under 25.
That's a good point. I mean, you put draft capital in with Gonzalez. Where'd they get Gonzalez? 17. They moved down,
I think it was like right in the middle. Yeah, right in the middle of the first round.
May was 3 and Campbell's 4.
Yeah,
and
so you better be pretty good.
You should be pretty high on the list.
And it's also not, safety, linebacker, running back. You went corner, quarter, left tackle. That's three of the four or five most important positions. So that's good.
He does make a note. And this is, again, Aaron Schatz at ESPN. I guess I hadn't thought about it this way. It makes sense because they spent all this money on defense in free agency. But he says the only player on defense worth highlighting is Gonzalez. He said all the rest of the talent is on offense, which is really not how I think about the team. But they have invested a lot of young talent on offense. One name he didn't even mention was Travion Henderson.
I'm surprised he didn't pop up. I have way more faith, I think most Patriots fans do, in Henderson than in Polk, but tossing Polk's name out there. That is one thing. Like, outside of Steph Diggs, if another receiver emerges, it's a young guy. I mean, it's either a third-year guy in, like, Pop Douglas, or a second-year guy in or Booty's also a third-year guy, right?
Yep.
Or a second-year guy, I don't think so, in Baker and Polk, or you have the rookie in Kyle Williams. Like, all those guys are in the mix.
617-779-7937. You got questions for Tom Curran. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock. His takeaways through 6 days for the Patriots at training camp. 2 days here in pads in Foxborough. Jones and Keefe, we've been present for all of it. And on the way next, it's a Tuesday at 1245, which means it's time for the Madness, Kiefer Madness.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We are at Foxborough, overlooking the practice fields here. Training camp practice is in the books. Tommy Curran will join us coming up around 15 minutes from now. But Jones, it is time for a local madness.
Excellent.
We go to the Granite State, New Hampshire.
Less excellent.
Dairy, to be specific. No, it's excellent. It is excellent. It's tax-free up there.
Okay.
The air is cleaner. The water is more drinkable.
Sure.
Dairy, New Hampshire, not to be confused with Londonderry, New Hampshire,
just
the home
Dairy.
Of Brian Wilson,
yes,
the
yes,
former
yes.
Giants closer. But Dairy, New Hampshire, nonetheless, just minutes away from the Massachusetts border, as something out of legit nightmares happened to somebody in their apartment. Let's take a listen.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, a snake like that? I don't even like the little ones. Never mind the big ones like that.
Chuck Van Coppenall
is let's stop right there, Chuck. Thank you very much. So we're dealing with the snake story, Jones.
Yeah, they did not bury the lead on this one whatsoever. They can't right in your face.
Yep.
They let you know it's a snake story.
And like me, doesn't even like the little ones.
No.
I don't mess around with the little ones.
No.
The big ones. He's dealing with the big one.
Yeah.
What he's got on his hands.
I don't even like the little ones. Never mind the big ones like that.
Chuck Van Coppenall is, well, a little spooked.
When you see how big this snake is.
I can't believe how big that was. Wow. I think I would have heard it or something.
But after Derry police say they found a 5-foot python inside the bathroom of his neighbor's upstairs apartment, do you blame him?
I'm glad it was up there, not down here.
All right, hold on a second.
His neighbor's apartment?
Neighbor's apartment. A 5-foot python. Now, people do have pet snakes, which I think is wild.
Oh,
I don't get that. That's just a different
You ever had any friends who have had a pet snake?
Yeah, there was a kid on my football team in college had a pet snake. And I was always terrified that they were going to, like, one night get really drunk and be like, Keith's going to die if we, like, put it in his room and, like, let it loose.
Right.
Thankfully, they never did. Like, I really
good
respect
friends.
Them.
Those are good friends.
The kids were a maniac, but I was like, but he never did that.
Stand-up guys.
And, like, they would be like, hey, we're gonna feed him. Does anybody want to go down and watch it? I'm like, no, I don't.
Eat it, Mitch. Eat it.
But then I think this kid like burned it with his heat lamp a little bit. Then he had to like rub a cream on it for a while.
What is
this,
Blue Mountain State?
He had to take it to the snake vet. They're like, you idiot, you left the heat lamp on him too much, burned him a little bit, and he had to rub like lotion on him.
Man, I didn't realize that
too much upkeep.
That could happen to
But then it's just like in a tank, so then anytime you went in that kid's room, you're just like, there's a snake over there in that tank.
They're something
like,
yeah. in here that could murder us all.
Yeah. At any minute.
Yeah.
Oh, just terrible. So anyway, but yeah, 5 foot. This kid didn't have a 5 foot. Snake.
Not that who among us?
Not that I know.
Yeah,
of.
I mean, right.
But no, if I saw that in the apartment building, I would have to move. I would be like, I'm sorry. I don't care what what my monthly rent is. I'm sure I got to go.
Okay.
I got to go now.
All right.
I'm glad it was up there, not down here. It might have hurt my cat. Yeah, that's her. See? Hey, you're on TV. Yeah.
She's ready to go after the python.
The woman who lives upstairs
Hold on a second. If you had to describe New Hampshire in one man's voice, it would be that guy.
That's it right there?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, I would say so. He's pretty New Hampshire.
That's kind of the whole,
yeah.
You know when you hear it sort of thing.
He's like, oh, my cat's famous. Hey, look at you. You're on TV now. And yes, to answer that guy's question, the 5-foot python would have for sure eaten your cat.
I don't know.
But eating the guy for all we know.
Well, the cat
might eat. What was his name? Chuck Fosterman?
The cat might eat the guy.
Well, if the guy dies,
yeah.
The cat wouldn't kill the guy. The snake would kill the guy.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd work together.
And the cat would eat it. Yeah.
The cat would be like, you're going to eat all that guy? He's like,
I'll take the life. He fed me for years.
He loved me.
He fed me for years. Right. He cleaned my litter box. But I'll take a bite.
I'll eat him the second he goes cold. Yeah. All right.
Hey, you're on TV.
She's ready to go after the python.
The woman who lives upstairs had called officers terrified and looking for help.
Snakes can crawl into all kinds of crevices and what have you like that. So
officers called
Chuck. True. All kinds.
All kinds.
Think of a kind. I bet it can. Like, oh, my God. He's like, snake? I'm surprised. He's like, so that's it. So it wasn't like a pet snake, or at least it wasn't this woman's snake. So basically, this guy's telling the
probably
story.
Probably someone else's pet, I'd have to imagine.
I guess.
Maybe a long time ago it snuck out through the sewer or something like that. Next thing you know, it's been feasting in the wild.
But it made it upstairs?
At one point, that thing was a pet. Had to have been.
How'd it get upstairs?
I don't know.
Can they do stairs?
Yeah.
Snakes can go upstairs.
Probably. They can crawl up trees and stuff. You don't think they can do stairs?
Well, trees, it can kind of wrap itself around the
banister.
Wrap itself around the banister.
No. Yes.
Billy, can snakes go upstairs?
I would assume.
100%.
Yeah.
What?
Even safe upstairs?
So all these years, you think if there was a snake on the loose, you'd just run up some stairs and you'd be fine?
Yeah,
I imagine it could still get you.
They slither on their bellies. I would think I'd be fine up there.
I don't think so.
So they just go like up and is horrifying.
I'm sure they do.
Oh, my God.
Really? You never think?
I wouldn't think they could do stairs. I mean, they're normally
outside. You've never
seen
like, I know these are, stairs outside. I know these are different species, but you never seen like a dancing cobra? They're standing up. Like, they could get up some stairs.
Dancing cobra?
Yeah.
Like the snake?
Yeah, like a snake charmer dance.
I can
like
see
them grooving along. They're holding themselves up. They have a lot of ribs.
Well,
there's
the guy with like a piccolo, maybe.
They're all ribs. They're very strong.
They have ribs?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's
their
bone structure.
Well, you might find out more about that later.
I think they have ribs. Say it again.
You might find out more about that later in this.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, how about that?
There you go. I couldn't even click on this. As soon as I saw it was a 5
Keith knows nothing about this. Keith is finding out about this story as we go. Yeah.
This is a new story to me.
Snakes can crawl into all kinds of crevices and what have you like that. So.
Officers called Chuck and the other neighbors, but it definitely didn't belong to any of them.
He wanted to make sure before he did anything with it that it wasn't my pet. Well, first of all, I wouldn't have any snake as a pet.
Thank you.
And I definitely wouldn't have a python.
So okay. How in the world...
Check. I'm that guy. Sorry, go ahead.
There. Kevin McCurley, owner of New England Reptile Distributors in Plasto, says snakes are all spine and muscle, so they can compress themselves.
It's a possibility that that ball python could actually go down a toilet, go down into the waterways, so it only has to hold its breath for a little period of time.
However, it got
there,
Chuck says.
I also just said this before.
That's probably how it got into the house.
So this guy holds his breath, goes into the toilet, goes through the pipes, and then comes out of another toilet?
Yeah, they're a miraculous species.
I guess so. They've survived millions of years.
They're all spine and ribs, and they can crawl through the toilet.
But they
like 5 minutes ago,
They gotta hold their breath.
Yeah.
He's like, hold on, I'm going in. Goes down through the thing, and then he lands upstairs.
Sure.
So, no, but what he says is he went through the toilet. He didn't even take the stairs.
Well, that's what I said. Well, that's true. That's a good point. You do have me there.
Is there an elevator in the building?
No, I said this a while ago. I bet that was somebody's pet at some point. It probably escaped through a toilet years ago and has now been just living off rats and mice and whatever else it could find.
Gross.
And it finally got caught. He was on the lam.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
However, it got there, Chuck says that he's just glad it didn't end up at his place because he certainly doesn't trust a snake.
Well, even if it's friendly, it can cause a lot of problems. So I'm glad they got rid of it.
Okay. I think that's great words to live by. Even if it's friendly, it can still cause a lot of problems. That's really the plot of most movies. Even if he's friendly,
most,
cause a lot of problems.
Most movies, and specifically most snake movies.
Anytime there's a creature in a movie.
Yeah.
Or like an alien, like E.T., friendly.
Yeah,
causing your problems.
Oh, a lot of problems.
Causing all kinds of problems.
Well, even if it's friendly, it can cause a lot of problems. So.
That's the new stay positive, stay strong, Joshua Adams.
So this is what I am wondering, though. So not only has it been alive for who knows how long, probably formerly somebody's pet,
decades.
But specifically in New Hampshire, though.
Yeah.
Like, that is rugged terrain, Keith. How's Derry?
Well, Derry's a good spot.
Yeah.
I mean, they got trees. It's a little bit of a town, though. It's not like a tiny little town like I grew up in.
Yeah.
But it's not like a metropolis like Manchester either.
It's not surviving on popcorn from the popcorn stand.
No.
It's going to have to go out and hunt.
It's not terribly far from Goffstown, though.
Okay. Oh, well, so maybe it is.
Yeah, not terribly far.
Interesting.
A snake could get there. A snake could get to Goffstown, no problem. If you knew which way he was going.
So local madness.
Local madness. So keep your head on a swivel. Did they end up? They got it though, right?
Yeah,
they got it. So okay.
Yeah,
but there could be more.
Oh,
where there's one, there's more.
There could be many of these. I think is the real lesson here. Yeah, you get one of these for a pet.
People think
they can just release it into the wild. I can't take care of this anymore. I'll just release it into the wild. It'll be fine.
Probably got it during COVID. That'd be fun. They're like, I'm back to work.
Or maybe it escaped.
Let the snake
out of its cage. Maybe it had been burned one too many times.
Snake out of the cage. Is that what he says?
Snake out of the cage.
Exactly.
And let the snake out.
Great.
Gotta let it breathe sometimes, Keith.
Yeah, I get
you know?
It. Yeah.
You know? Can't just leave it cooped up in there at all times.
It's got to get a little bit of breeze.
A little bit of sunlight.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Not too much.
Oh, no.
Otherwise,
no, for sure.
It burns.
Yeah.
But yeah, some. Okay, so that is the madness.
Yeah,
Kiefer Madness.
Good stuff.
Every Tuesday, most Thursdays here on Jones and Keefe. We are live today from Patriots training camp, day 6 in the books. We'll get an update on all things Pats. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us on a Tom E. Tuesday a little later than normal, but he'll join us coming up next here on WEEI.